Are you happy to be in church? Say amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, why don't you try smiling once? Amen. And I hope I'm okay, sound man. I hope this is good. I didn't change anything. And it's good to see my good friend John Willard and your family. Willard, man, I love you so much. We traveled 26,000 miles together in 13 weeks in 2006, and I did not kill him. And he was in a tour group, traveled together with me, and I so enjoy seeing another young preacher that hasn't changed. And he's sticking with it. Don't you change, I'll come kill you, Willard. And thankful. Brother Vaprazan, thank you. Wherever, right here. I am so blessed to see you. I remember way back many years ago getting to hear you at your church and at a special meeting, and just enjoy seeing you still there, Doc. That's wonderful. And he's right. A lot of guys changing. But listen, there's a lot of us not changing. And I have a father that's in heaven, my dad, and he's been there since 05. And he died young, really. He was in good health and got sick like that with Guillain-Barré syndrome. And I can tell you what kept me straight through a lot of my, what you'd call your changing, growing years, was seeing my dad stick with it. Didn't change. And now I've got two brothers, and we've got blood covenants together. If one of us change, we're going to hold each other accountable. By the way, that's a good thing to do. And but it is a blessing. Pastor, I love you so much. I am so proud of you. I say that with all the godly pride as you can say, and I mean that with no any kind of personal reason for this other than to say God gets glory out of your pastor's life. And I really like the two spits of gray coming right here. I love it. And it's wonderful to see him and Miss Carrie and the precious kids. I got to see little Katia tonight. She didn't see me, so I grabbed her around the ear and I started nibbling on the back of her ear. And she's trying to see who this is, and I kept getting away from her. And she finally looked at me. She looked at her mother and went, as if, who is that crazy man? And little Katya Rose, what a sweet, sweet baby. I'm so blessed to have my wife with me tonight. And thank you, Pastor, for bringing us both here. My wife grew up just over here in Brooklyn area, Lake Columbia. And this is her stomping grounds from the summer. We saw you all in the summer. I'm looking forward to some ice cream while I'm here. Hallelujah. And glory to God for that ice cream. What's it called? What's it? Oh, no, not that one. Oh, the parlor. Listen, you say it like a New Englander, the parlor. It's not the parlor, it's the parlor. And Mrs. Zabotsky, I love you so much. I'm so glad to see you. And I know you think every day, she thinks every day of her husband. And I had such fear and respect of your dad. They had a dog. Listen, this dog was right out of hell. It was the meanest, biggest, devilish animal. Huge head this big. I'd go, listen, he was in college, and I'd go over to visit his mom and dad, and that dog is... it's what greeted me every time. And I'm glad that thing is gone. It is gone, isn't it? Praise God. I think dogs just need to go away. And praise the Lord. It's good to be in church. Pardon my voice. I got the Monday sludge. You know, preachers, Sunday we preach and then we get the Monday sludge. And I think I got Ebola on the plane or something. I don't know what happened. I'm probably loaded with Ebola tonight and it's percolating. And we'll make it. Amen. I'm going to get you to go in your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua. And I wish I could say so much more, but we're going to be here through Friday and then leave on Saturday. And I am so thankful to be in Michigan in the month of October. You people have got to just realize how blessed you are. I live in California. I love California. I love where we're at, the Central Valley. We're 71 miles east of San Francisco. And we love where we're at. Great church, growing church. But boy, there's something about corn-fed Midwesterners. Amen. And I love it. I love the beautiful maple trees. Brother Donald, your front yard is gorgeous, and we've got everything grown. We've got fruits and nuts everywhere where I'm at, and you can interpret that any way you want. We love it. We love it. And God is good. Amen, church?
Amen.
I say God is good.
Amen.
All the time He's good. Are you in Joshua chapter number 1? Let me get over there. I'm just so excited about being here. I feel like a little kid. And your pastor, he makes that phone call thing. How am I get that phone call thing? I get it. I was sitting in my house. I believe it was Monday. No, it's Friday night. Thursday night. It was Thursday night. I got the call because I get the call thing. And the call came and said, church, we're going to go to prayer at 7 o'clock. Was it 7? And we're 3 hours earlier than you. And I just sat down, I think from all day, and sat down. And the pastor said, we're going to go to prayer at 7. So I made sure when you folks were praying at 7 here that 4, I was praying in California for this meeting. And I understand many of you have been praying all week. Don't quit praying. Listen, the devil's going to do everything he can to side rail this thing now. And we could have prayed all week long and fasted. And this is a great, Brother Babson, and you're right, great crowd on a Monday night. But let's not quit praying. Let's keep praying. In fact, before you go to bed tonight, give God thanks for what He did. And then tell Him, Lord, I need You to do more. And stay tuned into that. Uncle, good to see you back there. God bless you, Uncle. And praise the Lord. Joshua chapter number 1. Are you there? Say amen. If you're able to stand with me, would you stand? I want to just have you read with me the Word of God tonight in verses 6 through 9. Is this going to be needful or can I push it aside? Is this needful or can I push it aside? Okay. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse 6. Would you read with me out loud together? Everyone staying together as one voice, pausing at the punctuation. Here we go. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, let me read it. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. How many would like to say, I want verse number 9 to be the story of my life? Are you with me on that? Some of you didn't raise your hand. I will make sure you're with me now. How many would like verse 9 to be part of your life, the story? Amen, church? I want to preach tonight, I think, a message that I believe can be a help as we start this revival meeting. It might seem a little bit unusual of a message. We think about revival. We think about Pastor. We think about Sam Jones. And we think about the great Charles Finney and the great revival messages of the past. And many times we think they have to have a perfect alliteration and they've got to have a perfect this. And listen to me, folks, if the Holy Ghost doesn't show up to your life, there'll be no revival. I will preach the message to every person because I believe every person will fit into this message. And here it is, the key to victorious Christian living. It's real simple. I'm a pastor. I've been married 30 years and I've been really in the ministry almost 30 years. And I want to tell you something. Living the Christian life is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's simple. Very simple. Satan wants you to think it's only for the preachers, only for the deacons, it's only for the men of God. No, it's everybody can live the Christian life. Simple. Father, I pray You'd bless the message now. Help me, Lord, to get my mind into it. Lord, I pray You'll help the audience, the congregation, to settle their minds down and just Lay aside whatever might be disturbing or distracting. And Lord, we sure need to hear from you tonight. I'm so honored and humbled at the same time to be here. Lord, I'm more humbled and honored to be able to preach this book behind this pulpit of wood. God, now fill this place with your presence and your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask a question. All I want to see is this going on. Do you want things to go well in your life?
Amen.
This is, you might think this is a Joel Osteen message. It's not. I'm not. Watch me. I'm Joel Osteen right now. Do you want, listen here, all I want is this. Do you want a life that is happy, satisfied, and full of joy? I got you, don't I? I got you right here. Would you like to never again get a traffic ticket, ladies? Come on. Come on, ladies. Do you want your needs to be met? Do you want your prayers to be heard and answered? Do you want your lost family members to be born again? Do you want your rest? Do you want rest from the burdens that you're carrying right now? Do you want freedom from the demons that haunt you from your own past? Do you want peace and tranquility? Do you want to have a life God intends you to have? All of that can be summarized in three words. Follow the rules. Follow the rules. Look up here. Listen to me. If you want to have a victorious Christian life, here it is. Follow the rules.
Amen.
God's not asking you to figure it out. God hasn't put you on some kind of a what do you call that thing you walk and it's just treadmill. See, I exercise a lot. God's not put you on some treadmill, a lot of work going nowhere. God just tells you this, you just do what I tell you to do. I'll bless your life.
Amen.
Folks, it is so simple. I've got a guy, he's been coming to our church, he's got a swastika tattooed on his forehead. That's true. About that big. Half dollar on his forehead swastika. God saved him. I led him to the Lord in my car on a Saturday afternoon.
Amen.
He sat in my car and I looked at him and I said, Robert, there's no difference between you and me. I'm sitting there in a suit and he's sitting there with a swastika on his forehead. Just got out of prison. It's a true story. Stockton, California. And I said, Robert, I said, there's no difference between you and me. And he looked at me, kind of leaned forward. He said, you really believe that? I said, mister, there's no difference between you and me in the fact that I'm a sinner just like you and deserve hell just like you. And the only thing that sets you and me apart as I sit here with you right now is I'm saved by the grace of God and you're not. And he said, you're right. And he got saved. He got baptized. And now he's going through procedures to remove that swastika from his head. And I'll tell you this, I'm glad for this. The state of California will actually pay for tattoo removal for convicts coming out of prison so they can get back into the workforce. Because I don't know too many people going to hire a guy with a swastika right here. Charles Manson's just down the road from us. He's got one right here. And he ain't getting no job, say amen. Listen to me, the Christian life is simple. I'm going to say it again. Follow the rules. You're not going to go out of here tonight and say, that's the greatest message I ever heard in my life. But I want to tell you this. This could change your life.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, young people, listen to me. It is as simple as you finding out whatever God said to do and whatever God said not to do and do it! And I want to tell you something. You'll find success in your life. You'll find your prayers answered. If you'd learn to follow the rules, you wouldn't get pulled over. Huh? Look at your wife, men, say, that's right. Now, I want to just get into some teaching here. God is a God of order. How many believe that? Say amen. Aren't you thankful? Last night, my wife, she said before we went to bed, we were up at 3:15. I actually left at 3:15 this morning. And she said, honey, it's so beautiful. The moon's over here. The sun's coming up over here. And she said, and the stars are in between. She looked at all that. Isn't it amazing how God created this world? He put everything into a pattern. It's all a part of order. Everything in creation follows an order. It follows a pattern. The planets rotate around the sun. They rotate on its axis. There's order in the physical rules that God set up in the solar system and on our planet. One example is that of gravity. If it weren't for gravity, we wouldn't be able to breathe today, because gravity is what keeps the water where the water needs to be and the dry land where the dry land needs to be. And if it weren't for gravity holding the seas at bay, we'd all be bubbling tonight. Even the moon's gravity controls the tides of the ocean. Gravity is a force. How many understand that? It's a law. It's a law of order that God put in place to benefit us all. But if we choose to ignore the law of gravity, we're not going to break the law of gravity. We'll obey the law of gravity. Nobody breaks the law of gravity. If I jump from here with my 195 pounds, I'm not going to go this way. I'm going this way. I am obeying the law of gravity, whether I like it or not. It's one of God's orders. The same with the second law of thermodynamics. Otherwise called the old law. That is, everything is wearing down and running out. How many understand that personally? Amen? I got out of the car and I saw your pastor with that little gray streak here. And he said, "How you doing, gray man?" And man, I have gray. And I am a blessed man though, even with gray hair. I've got hair, bless God. But the law of thermodynamics is simply this, that everything is wearing down, it's degrading over time. The former state of a thing is never at the current state. It's always diminishing. And God created order in the universe so that we would obey Him and see Him as Creator. And if we don't obey those laws, we pay a price. I'm telling you this evening, as we sit around this thought of what Joshua told him, he said, only do what God told you to do if we would simply follow the rules. God would bless us. If you took two wires and stuck them in an outlet, I probably shouldn't even illustrate this, because sure enough, Lukey is going to do it. Add two wires going to that outlet, the positive and the negative, and then you put them together and get a ground involved in that, you're going to get shocked. And that's the law of shock. If you go out and don't forget, you might shoot your eye out. You go out to a pole, a freezing cold pole, and stick your tongue on it, it's the law of stick. Some of you aren't following that. Ask. I did that just for your pastor. You pull away from that pole, you're going to leave a part of your tongue on there. It's the law. It's the way it is. Now, let me ask a question. How many of you understand that there's a price to pay when we violate the laws of God's nature? Mark it down. If you don't take care of your body, you're going to pay a price. And as much as I wish I could say that's always the case, listen to me, we are on a march to the grave right now. Nobody is getting better, we're getting worse, that's the way it is. This is not the land of the living, this is the land of the dying. And so we are in a steady march to the grave. There's not a thing we can do about that. However, we can take care of these temples God gave us. And we ought to take care of these temples that God gave us. And some of you right now, sitting here right now, you're paying a price for abusing your body. And it's just the way it is. You have to live with that. Others have consequences of a corrupt world. These are laws that were violated. We pay the price of these things. But how many also understand that there's a price to pay when we violate God's spiritual laws? This is so true. And again, this is not a deep and theological message, but I do want to draw you into the lessons that God drove into the mind of the Hebrew. Go to Leviticus 26, and I'm trying to stay right on time, and I think you're all listening. Amen. My little brother just showed up. Praise the Lord, Russell. Good to see you, buddy. I'm glad you made it safe and sound. Leviticus 26. Leviticus, everybody turn around and wave at Pastor Russ. Just make him feel welcome. There. Now everybody just go, yeah. Leviticus 26. I'm not going to take time to read it, but I want you to see it with your eyes, because I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to be unkind. Some of you maybe have not read your Bible today so far, so you can go home tonight. You can read this. That's a help. Leviticus 26, verses 3 through 25. If you read those verses, it's basically God saying, I'm going to give you, 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 I'm going to bless 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 you. But if you don't do what I tell you to do, I will curse you, I will curse you, I will curse you, I will curse you.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Follow the rules.
Yes, sir,
simple as that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. God does not long endure rebellion. God will punish our rebellion every time. Every time. He may punish you by withholding blessings. He may punish you by allowing His natural laws to run their course. He may punish you by letting you get completely disgusted with yourself. There is a pleasantness about a conscience when you put your head on a pillow at night. There's something about that. You cannot buy that. He may allow your own sickness of yourself, the filth of your own sin, to become your torment. I remember a man many years ago sat with me in my office back east, and he said to me, I did their wedding, and about 6 years after they were married, he came to me and said, Pastor, I'm so overwhelmed with guilt in my life. I need to talk to you. I said, man, tell me what's going on. And he said, I got to tell you, he said, the night before I married my wife, now they had three kids. He said, the night before I married my wife, I, in a foolish act, committed fornication. He said that I married her the next day, and you'll never know the guilt that I carried inside as she walked down that aisle and I stood there and she came and you were there, Pastor. And he told me this story, and I'm just brokenhearted. And I looked at him, I said, what are you asking me to do? He said, I've got to get your permission. I need your counsel. I need to tell her. I need to get this out of my mind. I can't sleep at night. It's eating me alive. And I looked at him, right or wrong, Pastor, I don't know. But I looked at him and said, you keep your mouth shut. I said, why on earth do you want to destroy that good, godly woman's life now to relieve your own conscience? I said, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to stay close to Calvary and get your life clear before God and trust a merciful God that He'll deliver you from a guilty conscience the rest of your days. He kept his mouth shut. You say, that's awful. I can't believe you said that. Right or wrong, I said, you keep that inside yourself. Why destroy her? Oh, I'm telling you something. God will not long endure. Hey, look up here. God will not long endure rebellion. He will punish us. And sometimes God will punish us by completely disrupting our lives. Or don't start judging people. Don't start thinking, that's what's going on with him. You know nothing of which you speak. Only the one being disciplined knows that being disciplined. How many's buried someone way before the expected time? A precious mother, a child, a precious spouse. And one might say, well, this must be the judging hand of God. I say this, close your mouth. We have no right to judge anyone. Say amen.
Amen.
But God will deal with His children. For whom the Father loveth, He chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye be without chastisement, ye're bastards, the Bible says, and not sons. And so a great comfort, ironically, a great comfort can be that chastening hand of God is a firm reminder of His ownership of us through the blood of Calvary. But God will deal with His children. Now, listen to me. I want you to understand, success is very simple. It's in three words. Follow the rules. Follow the rules. You don't have to be smart for this. You don't have to be a spiritual, reared in a spiritual home. You don't have to have a pedigree that goes back to John R. Rice, who is the father, I guess, of all that we are. I'm just kidding. You don't need any of that. You could have been saved last week, and guess what? You've got a leg up on a lot of other Christians been saved a long time if you just start following the rules and as much as you can put your footsteps where Jesus' footsteps are. I want to tell you something. You'll find your way getting brighter and brighter with each day. The key to Christian life, the key to victorious Christian living, the key to a happy marriage is just follow the rules. I can't talk to other women. I just can't do it. Now, you know what I mean? Converse with them. It's not allowed. I'm a Christian. I'm not allowed to cuss. I want to cuss sometimes. But I'm not. It's against the rules. Are you hearing me? I know this sounds probably elementary, Pastor. I'm sorry. We're starting here tonight. But just follow the rules. You cannot yell at your wife. I'm sorry, you can't do it. It's against the rules. You can't do it. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. All right, I got to love her. It's the rule! Ladies, I'm coming at you. You got to submit to him. It's the rule. Don't you give me this stuff. Well, I'm smarter than him. Well, then, it's your problem. I'm smarter than him. You probably are, but tough. You married him. Submit. It's what.
Right.
It's the rules. All right, listen, like I said, we're down here tonight, but I want to tell you something. God said to Israel when they left Egypt, they got to the promised land. God says, now listen, I have given you the Canaan land. It's yours for taking. All I want you to do is get on in there, drop down those trees and kick those inhabitants out of there. He said, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. Just follow the rules. Follow the rules. Now you say, it really is that simple. It really is. I wish I could take you to 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 23. Wow, we learn about probably the greatest potential man in all the Bible, Saul. Talk about potential man. My, what a man, head and shoulders, everything about him, it just eked with potential and possibility. And there was no divine purpose that is directing him to become what he became. God gave him and afforded him every benefit, every opportunity. Just obey me. And God says, you didn't obey me. You didn't follow the rules. And he turns out to be the disgraced king, the first king of Israel. Listen to me, your spiritual growth tonight is stunted. And you haven't been serving the Lord for years because you have not been obeying the rules. Simple as that. It's simple as that. Are you doing right tonight? Are you obeying God tonight? And I want to ask you this, and I'm not going to ask for you to tell me from the floor because I can't hear you anyways. But where do we start following the rules? Well, we start with the obvious things. And you want revival? Start praying again. It's an obvious thing. You say, well, I prayed and I get the answers. Listen to me. I'll never forget sitting with Dr. Malone one time. He was in his early 80s. I sat next to him and I said, Dr. Malone, I said, I got to ask you. I've been pastoring for a number of years and we'd sent students back to the college. And I loved the man. I knew him since the early 70s. And I was saved at Emmanuel Baptist Church and baptized there. And Carl Hatch preached the night I got saved there. And I said, Dr. Malone, what could you just tell me as a preacher, as a graduate, what is your greatest spiritual challenge? What is your greatest spiritual challenge as a pastor, as a Christian? Without hesitating, he said, I struggle with prayer. And I'll never forget it, Pastor, when he said that to me. I went, him too? You see, follow the rules. Pray without ceasing. Here's another one. Read your Bible.
Yes. Amen.
How are you doing with that? Are you reading it? Are you reading your Bible? I had a guy recently. He called up one of my men and said, I'm addicted. I got addictions. I'm stuck doing this. He's give his whole jazz. I said, okay, let's study him for a minute. I said, is he in church on Wednesday night? No, Pastor. Is he coming soul winning at least once a month? No, he doesn't do that either. Does he ever come to prayer meeting? No. Don't think I'm heartless. I'm a pastor. I care about people. And you know what I said to this young man? I said, I'm going to give you five things you need to do. You want victory over that? Get yourself in church every service.
Yes.
Huh? Don't get quiet, church. Let me tell you something. I'm for helping people in all these programs. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you something. There's a thing going on in your life you couldn't get squared away if you just get back out soul winning and get carrying gospel tracts like you used to do and start tithing again. Get back on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night. I'm getting ready to kick a pulpit. Wednesday night. Hey, listen to me. If you just get back to doing the obvious things, God would come back into your life and bless your life. We got to make it all complex. I need Joyce Meyer. She speaks to me. What?
Yeah.
Or in the words of a famous American, what you talking about, Willis? Are you giving your tithe? Are you giving your missions? Are you witnessing to others? Are you being benevolent? I'm telling you, you can find victory in life if you just follow the rules. Simple as that. Where you are spiritually is a culmination of all your yeses and noes. See what happens? Peter three times told the Lord no. We get over here and we start thinking we're smarter than God. And that easy, instinctive, responsive yes turns to the, well, Lord, but God. And if some of you would just, and I don't even know your story, I just know me. If you just take careful inventory of yourself, how many no's have you been given, God? Move from the column of no's to yes. Yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. Do thy will, Lord. I say yes, Lord. It's that simple. Oh, I don't hear God calling me to the mission field, Pastor. I'd love to go to the mission field. Well, have you surrendered? A lot of folks are waiting for this call. I'm gonna let you in on something. God steers cars that are moving. If you're sitting there not moving, it's hard to steer a car sitting move, not moving. If you would simply get on an altar in this week, for example, and say, God, I am absolutely yielding to you. Like Romans 6 talks about, you yield to whatever you want to be.
Right.
To what you obey and become, it's by yielding. And so you yield yourself and say, God, I am giving up! And I'm saying yes to you. Amen. If you want me on the mission field. It's that simple. You say, what about pedigree? What about training? What about all this? You talk to your pastor, he'll help you. But it starts with yielding. We can't put anybody in the ministry. I frankly don't know who's coming up next. I don't know what's going to happen in this next generation. Brother Willer, we're not winning them. We're losing these kids. They're going out to make money. They're going to these accredited schools because they want to make big money and make big money. I'll just say this. If that's your quest, you make sure you give God most of it. Amen. The rest of us followed His will and got into the ministry, not for money, but to serve the Lord. And you shouldn't have less a commitment. If God keeps you making earthly manna, you give it back to God and put it on the mission field and use it for His glory. But I'll tell you something. You ought to also say yes to God.
Amen.
I'll take a Sunday school class.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
I'll get in on that dirty, filthy bus route. By the way, that's a beautiful bus you bought.
Yeah.
I'll get in on that bus route. My brother was preaching for me recently, and he said this in my pulpit. I've quoted you three times. He said, if Jesus were alive today at the Central Valley Baptist Church, he'd probably be a bus captain. I like to think he'd be the pastor, but he said bus captain. And I think I know what he means. Just say, yes, Lord. Would you say that with me?
Yes, Lord.
Would you try it one more time?
Yes, Lord.
So what you need to do, you need to move from the no column to the yes column. And today could be the day. Tonight could be the night. It could be the teenager. You could finally get over this thing in your life. This battle that you're in. That tearing inside you. And that conflict. Just follow the rules. It's amazing how things just work out. I got so much more I could say here. It's simple. It's simple. Do you really love God tonight?
Yes.
Say, I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
Say it one more time.
All right,
I'm gonna give this mic. Watch me, man. I'm gonna give this mic to the pastor. He didn't know it, but you confirmed my message today. What did you say in that car? I had you repeat it three times.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Would you say it twice more?
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Listen.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Do you really love the Lord? Follow the rules. It's that simple. Lord, I love you. I came to church tonight. I'm glad you did. I'll tell you right now, God, listen, God is going to deal with His children that don't respect His church and His people, His man. And you folks have done well. I say hoorah to you. I say glory to God to you. And I'm saying that because I want you to come back tomorrow night too. Amen. We need this. What's it all about? It's just helping us all learn to follow the rules. The windows of heaven can be open in your life again. The key's in your hands. God's not short tonight. He's not lacking. He's absolutely ready to pour out His blessings upon us. The key is in our hands. Follow the rules. I want you to just go to 1 John 2 and I'll be done. I'm just going to read it and then close the message and give a very personal challenge, not an invitation, but a personal challenge. It tells us here in 1 John 2, verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." Follow the rules. Father, we thank You for